The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And today we are talking about a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Nothing in particular, but we got a couple ideas.
Yeah, I actually got caught up on something, which is a movie I've been meaning to watch for a while, which is This Is Spinal Tap.
The mockumentary from 83?
Yes, the rock mockumentary. Actually, 84. Ah. But you're close. So I had never actually seen this movie. And, of course, I know a lot of the references, like, you know, but this one goes to 11. And, you know, I knew it was from that, and I think I had seen a clip of it at some point, but I had never actually sat down and watched a movie. So we were talking about this with some friends a couple of weeks ago, and some of our friends had also never seen Spice World or Josie and the Pussycats, which we have talked about on a previous show.
Right.
So we decided that we needed to watch all these movies. So they watched Spice World on their own because we weren't going to put ourselves through that again. And then I joined them for Josie because that's just such a great movie. I didn't mind watching that again. And you know what? I liked it even better the second time around.
That's good because a lot of, you know, some movies don't do that.
Yeah, because there's so much to see in that movie. There's so many references and advertisements and subliminal messages. I mean, the whole movie's about subliminal messages, but, you know, watching it again, you can really take everything in, and it's just hilarious. That movie is so good, and I'm really sad that it didn't seem to have gotten the kind of the attention that it deserved when it first aired.
Yeah.
But then we also watched This Is Spinal Tap, which you were a little concerned that I wasn't going to like it. Right?
Which in hindsight, it was probably a stupid of me to be that way. But, I mean, it's a little different than some other things, because I know you love Pop Star,
mm-hmm.
which I love, too. And it's a very much an original Pop Star.
Right, yeah.
But it's also a little different because I know some of the, like, some of those movies that are along the same lines, Harry Shearer kind of movies and Christopher Guest movies are along the same lines, like A Mighty Wind, Best in Show.
Right, right.
Those are all things that I don't know how many of those you've seen.
I have not seen A Mighty Wind, but it's the same people, right?
Yeah.
Because CJ, who it was at his place that we were watching this, was mentioning that they actually went out on tour as Spinal Tap, and A Mighty Wind was their opening band.
That's really funny.
So they opened for themselves.
That's really funny.
But, yeah, I have not seen that one. I have seen, I think I've seen Best of Show. I've mostly just seen The Waiting for Guffman, which was his kind of big one.
Mm-hmm. But I wasn't quite sure how it would fall on you. And
yeah.
You came over to the where I was at, because I was off doing other things. I was playing Sentinels of the Multiverse because we finally got Oblivion in,
which we talked about last week on our show. So Chris and Kevin both got their shipments of their big fancy new game, so we had to play the big fancy new game.
So yeah, you were doing that. When you came over, you're like, yay!
Yes.
I loved it. I'm like, oh, that's really good to know.
I loved it so much. It was so funny, and these guys did such a good job. That, like, I didn't, so now I know who all four of them are. And, you know, they're very recognizable. So you have, Christopher Guest and, Michael McKean, Harry Shearer are the main
three.
So sorry, not four, it's a three. And I know all those guys. And I didn't realize.
Technically, Rob Reiner's a fourth in that movie because he's interviewing them.
Yeah, he directed the actual film, and then he is the documentary filmmaker mm-hmm. in the movie. So I know all those people. I didn't realize they were Spinal Tap. I didn't know that. And so I was surprised all the way through. And really, the whole cast, it's so interesting to watch. These people are so young.
Yeah.
So young. I mean,
I'm pretty sure Paul Scheer was in that one. Is it Paul Scheer? No, Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer's
in that, and he has hair, doesn't he?
He does. I had to look him up. I didn't know who he was. I'm like, okay, this guy looks familiar. Who is he? And, I loved IMDb during this movie. I mean, I know I love it during all movies, but especially this movie, it was really helpful.
You should totally watch stuff on Amazon Prime with their X-ray vision, which pretty much just has IMDb rolling.
That's awesome.
Throughout the movie.
That's awesome.
So we should see if one of those movies is on there.
Yeah, that's amazing. Billy Crystal and Dana Carvey have very tiny little roles as miming waiters. I think the only person who looks the same is Fran Drescher. She didn't really change much. Like, she looks the same. Angelica Houston has a small part. She's the one who made Stonehenge, the tiny Stonehenge.
And if we've learned anything from this is that if you want something in feet, it's one dash.
One dash.
If you, what is that? It's not an apostrophe, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's an apostrophe, and if you want it in inches, it's two lines or a quotation mark.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We learned that the hard way.
That was hilarious. The whole, you know, bringing my
only... I think it went pretty well. How did that go well? All in all, our Stonehenge was in dire danger of being crushed by two dwarves.
It was so funny. I also loved the concert where they were like born out of eggs, so they went very Lady Gaga. And except for Harry Shearer's egg didn't open, and so the roadie was spending the entire song trying to use a axe, use a blowtorch, use a crowbar to get this thing open. And then by the time they finally got it open, the other two had gone back in there. I loved it. And just to know that the majority of the movie was ad-libbed and improvised, it's just great. It's one big, long improv scene.
Well, and just think, there's a time in the world where we didn't have, well, this one goes to 11.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that is so prolific in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Put it to 11. Yeah, well. So, yeah, this is the best guitar. This is the best amp because it goes to 11. Well, why don't you just make 10 louder and then make that 10? Yes, but this one goes to 11.
and to finally see that in full context of the entire movie, it was just great. And, you know, as I do, I was looking at the trivia on IMDb, and I think my favorite one on here is that after the film opened, several people told Rob Reiner that they loved the film, but he should have chosen a more well-known band for a documentary.
Which I said would probably be a huge compliment.
Because
he made it seem like it was a real band.
Well, also, a lot of rock stars have come out and said, yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, that's how it is. That they didn't find it funny because it was just too real. It was too real for them, which...
Well, like the drummer that they keep losing.
The drummer that spontaneously combusts. Well, that and when Christopher Guest is trying to make little sandwiches... Do you remember that part? He cannot figure out how to make these little finger sandwiches because it keeps falling apart, and he just doesn't realize that if you just stack the small ones together, that it forms a little sandwich you can eat. And he's just, it was hilarious. Just trying to watch him do the simplest thing, and the movie was great. It was great, and it really made me appreciate even more Popstar. Which is a movie that we talked way in the beginning of our show. It was one of our first episodes.
Yeah.
It was actually one of the reasons why we started doing our show.
We're coming up on a year.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a big anniversary show.
Yeah.
But Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping, is a mockumentary much in the style of Spinal Tap. It follows this pop star and his life and his kind of rise to fame and then his decline.
You could almost say it's like a reboot or a remake of Spinal Tap.
Absolutely.
Because it's exactly the same style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's great. It's just so funny and so well made. And I was really excited to have finally watched that.
Well, and it's really sad that Popstar didn't get a lot of kind of like a Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah,
thing,
it had a bad opening.
Yeah, because it was going up against people in a bad time slot of movie releases. But Spinal Tap is just classic. And how did that one do for, like, was it a, I can't remember if that one was a commercial success or not.
Well,
or if it's more of a cult classic, so to speak. It feels like it probably did, because, I mean, it's so popular now.
Mm-hmm.
Popstar, not so much. But you can listen to the whole album on Spotify, and it's just great start to finish.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell, because it says that the budget was $2.5 million, was the estimated budget. And the opening weekend was only $30,835 in 84.
So, no.
And then the gross USA December of 2000 is $244,000. So, no, it did not do well.
It did not do well at all.
No, but it's reached that cult status now that it's, you know, it's timeless now. I'm sure it's made a lot more money on Blu-ray and DVDs. And so I had messaged you while I was watching it asking you if you've watched your DVD copy, because we have it on Blu-ray, but I don't believe it's open.
Yeah.
As is a lot of our movies.
I think I have it on DVD, though.
Oh, okay. So the title card is just brilliant, because it's just the graphic of this is Spinal Tap, and it's getting bigger on the screen. And then the guys recorded a voiceover of them talking about the title card of the DVD. And they're like, no, it's getting too big. And so it starts to shrink down. And then it's like really tiny, sort of where you can barely read it. And then on the bottom it says, you know, play scenes, special features. And the band members start talking about what those things mean. And they're like, scene selection, what is that? And he's like, well, that's where you can jump to different scenes of the movie. Well, can you jump to different scenes of other movies? No, it's just our movie. And it's so funny. So that means that they got back together and recorded this little intro just to put on the DVD, because when they made the movie in 1984, there were not DVDs.
Absolutely. But Spinal Tap has gotten together a lot over the last 30-something years. They actually went on tour.
Yeah. Well, and that's another amazing thing, is that all the actors are actually the musicians. Like, they played all their own music. They wrote all their own music for this. So while you can say, yes, Spinal Tap is technically not a real band, they kind of are.
Right.
Which is so weird. It's a little mind-numbing.
Yeah, no, it's one of those classics that you forget to watch, but when you do, you're really glad you did.
Well, isn't it kind of like the Monkees? Weren't the Monkees not technically a real band? Weren't they made for the TV show?
Oh, absolutely.
And then they capitalized on that?
I'm pretty sure only Mike Nesmith is the only one who could actually play instruments.
Yeah.
Because you can even see it that it's for the music video for Daydream Believer.
Mm-hmm.
They have like a tambourine, and he's just kind of pushed in his hand through it. They have a guitar that doesn't have strings, and so they're playing it. And that's kind of the reasons why the Monkees themselves, they did okay, but Mike Nesmith was really kind of against it, because he actually was a musician, and they weren't taken seriously. Because you have the Beatles, who play their music, and they're the Beatles.
Right.
And then at any given point, because they made the TV show, the Monkees, the Monkees actually were more popular than the Beatles for a short amount of time. Like, they outsold and they charted higher than the Beatles at certain points. Like, overall, of course not.
But, yeah, no.
but at certain times, they were. And Mike Nesmith is the one who kind of had the idea actually for MTV.
Oh.
It was MTV's his brainchild.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. He was able to market and sell. He kind of had the idea. He's like, we should put... Because of the TV show, though, so it was kind of a double-edged sword. He hated the fact that he was not taken seriously as a musician because of the TV show, but then he realized that you can make videos to go with music to sell the music better.
Right. So he was upset that he was on TV not taking the music seriously, and kind of, you know what, MTV is the same way.
Well, it is now. No, it's literally Nick at Night now.
That's true. Yeah.
I had it on last night. And no, this morning early, I woke up early this morning and I was flipping through the guide, and MTV was That 70s Show and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, because those have to do with music.
Right.
I mean, you could argue Fresh Prince, kind of, maybe, a little more than That 70s Show, but Yeah, and whatever happened to MTV? They just did that. I mean, it almost seems like maybe with music going digital. The whole point of MTV is to have the videos for the music to then sell the music, right? And now you don't really go to a store to buy albums. You just pick and choose and download the song you want, if at all, or you use free streaming services.
I feel like now YouTube is the new MTV, or it is MTV now, because you want to see a video, you go to it. The problem is that you, when you're on YouTube, you really only kind of go and look for things that you already know about.
Right.
I miss MTV being playing music videos for songs or bands you don't know, and then having it show you the you know, or play for you the song, and you find new things that way. They actually have that on one of the other, like, higher up cable channels, MTV Live, which is in the middle of the night they'll have epic awesome music videos, and so it's like all night they'll play music videos.
Interesting.
But good luck finding a music video on MTV.
Yeah. And it almost seems like I don't really understand the point of a music video anymore. Like, they spend millions of dollars on these things, on these, you know, 3-minute movies that you don't see anywhere.
That's an art form. And, Beyonce did that whole album with music videos. It was a video album.
Mm-hmm.
Her, that one where she was, like, calling out Jay-Z for...
Oh, Lemonade with the hitting, beating up the car.
Yeah, like, the whole thing, it's a video album.
Yeah.
So, and they still, it still has their place. And I mean, if they make cool videos to go with the good songs, then great. But the thing is, you got nowhere to put them. And like I said, you have to know what to look for if you're going on YouTube.
Right. It almost seems like they should come up with a new TV channel where they can just play these music videos all the time. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be. You know, I'd probably choose the Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star as the first song I'd play on there.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad that MTV kind of got away from its roots.
Yeah.
And it realized how much money it could make off of unscripted reality TV.
Oh, don't even get me started on... No, I'm not even going to talk about how terrible that is.
Right? I totally blame MTV for this whole reality TV thing.
Oh, yeah. The Real World.
Yeah. And they started The Real World because they didn't want to hire writers.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that happened, is they were lazy. And they didn't want to pay writers. And so they said, hey, let's just throw people in a room together and just film them.
Happens. And now people aren't interested enough. Now they actually have to fake it. Mm-hmm. So now they actually have writers for reality shows.
Right? Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
Ugh,
so nothing about what you do is right, MTV. Change your name. They're not, like, MTV needs to rebrand.
Mm-hmm.
They just know that they capitalized on something in the 80s. And built a logo. It's like Coca-Cola just selling you toilet paper. Like, what? Like, it has nothing to do with what your brand and your sign. But hey, people know Coca-Cola, so now we're just going to sell toilet paper. Who cares?
Right. Well, yeah.
That's pretty much it. People have, oh, I know what MTV is. No, you don't.
No, yeah.
MTV used to play music videos, and I'm pulling out the back in my day.
I want to know what the M now stands for.
Mediocre.
Mediocre TV. Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So we are going to take a break.
Yes. And then we'll come back and talk about some more stuff we're getting caught up on.
Oh, yeah. We got stuff for you.
Yeah.
You are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Magician Matt Franco brings illusion and humor to Reading's historic Cascade Theater September 9th. As the only magician ever to win America's Got Talent, Matt Franco's innovative approach to magic is fueled with improv and driven by pure joy. Experience the boundless fun and stunning sense of wonder with Magician Matt Franco at the Cascade Theater September 9th. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Campout will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County Ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet. Then, on Saturday, enjoy a ride. Meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then the party begins. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day campout the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're talking about just a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think we're finally finding time to get caught up on.
So we're sorry.
Just, no, go ahead.
I'm just saying we're like super behind on
we
a lot of things. Just
really
be
are.
Super busy because right now this is for anyone listening to us live, you obviously know that it is late August of 2018, but, you know, for all people who will be listening to the show later online, right now I'm currently directing a play at our local theater. It's a play called Somewhere in Between.
Mm-hmm.
And so between working 8 to 5 at my regular job and then being in rehearsals 4 days a week from, like, 6 to 9 p.m., not a lot of time to do a lot of things.
Yeah, it gets a little busy. It gets a little busy. So we try to do the best we can to get caught up on things, but sometimes it gets real tough.
Well, by the time we're done at like 9, by the time you get the lights turned off, locked doors, and go get food, you come home, it's like almost 10 o'clock, and you just sit on the couch eating some terrible fast food and watching TV.
And we have used that time to get caught up with the Game Show Network.
Yes.
We've started watching the Game Show Network.
It's so easy because you don't have to follow, you don't have to get caught up on. It's perfect for people like us with this show.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing to get caught up on.
Mm-hmm.
It's one and done. And if you don't have to follow a story, you just sit there and watch people either be smart or stupid and just see if you can play along.
Yeah, and it's real. The Game Show Network is a very interesting channel now because it's a blend of classic game shows and newer game shows.
Right.
So I mean, it's got Match Game, like the original Match Game from
1974.
Yeah, from 1974.
When they actually put the number after the title, Match Game 74.
Yeah. And then they also have Card Sharks from the 80s, which when I was little, I loved that game.
I was all about Concentration.
I didn't watch that one very much.
Oh, that one's great. That was Alex Trebek hosting that one before Jeopardy.
Oh, before Jeopardy. Wait, Alex Trebek did something before Jeopardy?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was at the same time, but it was definitely like 80, 83, 84.
Mm-hmm.
But it was those Rebus puzzles.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you try to match the number. You try to match the prizes. So technically, it's two games in one. You'd play. They'd play match you know, game, mm-hmm. where you, well, not match game, but you, the one where you memory.
Mm-hmm.
You try to match the squares, and then if you'd match them, you'd get the prize, and then it would go away, and it would reveal more of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And it was one of those Rebus puzzles, and I just remember, you know, people that I know, Ham's Beer, or, oh, Lucky, is it Lucky Beer? They used to have those Rebus puzzles in the bottle cap.
Oh, okay.
So there's, like, I don't know, like, right now, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, but there's people in their, like, 50s, 60s that are listening to this right now, right? You somebody?
Uh-huh.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. I'm sure they are. They're like, yes, I remember what beer you're talking about with the little Rebus puzzle on the cap.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't think it was Hams. Hams was the bear. I know way more about beer than I should.
You do.
Cheap beer.
Especially from, you're trying to remember this from your childhood. But, no, I do remember that game. I did like that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But, but what I love is that we're getting caught up on some game shows from, like, the 90s and the early 2000s, which I think is hilarious.
Chain Reaction.
Yeah. So Chain Reaction. Chain Reaction actually on their website has a different host. So I think they're bringing it back.
Maybe.
So I think they're going to be renewing it. But Chain Reaction, the ones we've been watching, is a very 90s, like late 90s, early 2000s, right?
I think it's about 2003.
Yeah. And so with this game, you have two words, and they're linked by a chain of other words, and you have to get from one end to the other. So every word goes with the one before it and the one after it. So like the other day, they had a short one. They were going from going to scout, and then you only get the first letter of the in-between words, which was B and E. Mm-hmm. And so it was going bald eagle, eagle scout. And so that's how you get down that far. So it's an interesting game. And how it works is there's two teams of three. They're usually women on one team and men on the other team. I've never seen a mixed gender team. So it's always battle of the sexes. And you ask for either a letter under the top word or a letter above the bottom word. And so you get the first letter of that next word, and then you have to guess what the word is. And if you can't do it, then it goes to the next person, and they can have the next letter in the word. And then usually, a couple of letters in, you can figure it out if you are a normal, intelligent human being. But we were watching an episode last night that was almost painful to watch because these people could not figure out what was happening.
They literally had to have the full word up there to say the word.
They got to the point where the whole word except the last letter was there, and they still got it wrong. Like,
yeah.
It was painful to watch.
Oh, yeah.
But when the people are a little more competent, it's not a bad game. Mm. It's an interesting game.
Well, and then you win the main prize round at the end. But, you know, that last one that mm-hmm. they play. And that is where you'll have the three players. One's blindfolded in the center, and the other two have to, like, play tennis with words back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be I
am
saying
this
to
you.
That's how that would play.
Yeah, and they had to get their third teammate to say this one last word. So that one's fun, but it's really funny to watch it because these people's clothing is so outdated
already.
Like, yeah, it's an interesting one.
And then there's one that we started. The reason that got me started, because I was just trying to flip through the channels and try to find something. No one really flips through the channels anymore. I had the guide up on our dish.
Ah.
And that's, reading titles.
That's the current times equivalent of flipping through the channels.
You know what? We're such an instant gratification society. Flipping through the channels takes too much time.
It really does.
Like,
it does. Yeah.
Like, does anyone flip through the channels anymore?
Well, also, you're when you land on so many commercials, like, you don't really want to sit through the commercial to see what's on TV to see if you want to flip the channel again.
Yeah.
So the guide is just so much easier.
Yeah. So there was one called Baggage. And,
I love this show.
And this one is hosted by Jerry Springer.
Which is part of the reason why I love this show.
Because he tells a lot of dad jokes.
He really does, and it's amazing.
But it starts off with one person who has a red suitcase, and the red suitcase has one shocking fact about them. And they give you a choice of three possibilities. So it could be like, I bite my toenails, I've robbed a bank, I've had three wives who've all left me for a mailman or something. And
yeah.
And then they, so that will be the guy's red suitcase, or the girl's, but we'll just say guy for this instance. The guy's red suitcase that has one of those things in there. And then the girls come up, and they have three suitcases each. And so the first thing they do is they reveal their small piece of baggage, which is the smallest suitcase. And it's just like his. It has, like, some random fact about them that is kind of disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a lover's tattoo on my butt, or so forth and so on. And then they reveal another set of baggage, the medium-sized baggage, and he doesn't get to know whose it is because it's just opened with them away from it. And then once he decides who he can't deal with anymore.
Yeah, he decides which piece of baggage is too much.
Yeah. Then they claim that baggage, and then they leave, and then they show you that person's third piece of baggage. So then it's down to two people, and then they get to know him a little bit, and then they reveal the last piece of baggage, and then the guy will then decide whether or not he wants to be with the person, which one of the two he wants to be with, and then they choose, and then he'll choose her, and then she'll come up, and then after the break, because there's always a break, it comes back, and then they reveal what's in his red suitcase, and then it's up to her to decide whether she can handle his baggage. There you go. Show in a nutshell.
It's a really fun show to watch because it's like the dating game, you know, with a different little twist to it. And my favorite part is Jerry Springer. He's just so funny, and he makes puns the entire time. Like you said, tells a lot of dad jokes and makes the audience a little uncomfortable, and it's just brilliant.
But some of the reasons, like, and then there some of the problems and some of the baggage is a little misleading.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like, I store my old hair, used hair, you know, in the drawer.
My bedside table.
Yeah. Turns out it's because she was collecting it to give to Locks for Loves.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
My favorite is I carry a bag of blood in my handbag. Ooh, well, that sounds really bad. But then she explains it, and she's diabetic, and she has to test her blood a lot. And rather than, you know, littering, she has a special, you know, container she puts it in so that she can dispose of it properly later.
Yeah, so
they stretch.
It's a little
sometimes
misleading.
They stretch.
Yeah, it's a little misleading. But it's fun.
But it's still a really fun little game.
And so that got me started, and that got me down the as I've been using a lot lately. It got me down the rabbit hole of a whole bunch of other ones. another one is Winsanity.
Yeah, Winsanity is hosted by Donald
Faison.
Yes, who was Dr. Turk on Scrubs. And this is a more contemporary game. I think this one's within the last year. It's new. He looks a little older.
It's current. I think it's even like at the end, copyright 2017.
Yeah.
So it's definitely within the last year.
Yeah. But it's a listing game. Mm-hmm. And so you get all these facts, and they all have numerical values to them. And then you have to put them in order of, you know, the highest number to the lowest number. And so that's an interesting one.
Like the number of degrees that an owl can turn its head, which is 270.
Which Chris just happened to know during last night's broadcast.
Just saying. And so it'll be 270. So then the next fact will come up, like the amount of, the amount of year, the amount of seasons in Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which is 9. So you'd have to think whether or not there's more seasons of Scrubs, obviously not than an eagle, than an owl, so it'd go below it.
Mm-hmm.
so then you guess, and it'll show you whether you got it right or wrong. And yeah, and it's just very cool that way.
Mm-hmm.
And not only does the people who are playing get money, but their audience behind them gets money too.
Yeah.
So they're always telling them, no, higher, lower. It's kind of like The Price is Right, only there's something on the line for people screaming.
Yeah. Which is funny during, when we're watching Baggage. So it'll come down to the main person who's, you know, the guy or the girl who's the bachelor. They'll have to decide between the two suitcases which one they can't handle, which baggage is too much. The audience starts yelling out, one, no, two. I'm like, these are these people's personal preferences. This is not Price is Right.
So baggage is very much Deal or No Deal meets Love Connection.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes, that is exactly what it is. Exactly. Right down to the way they open the case.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's the same suitcases. Just saying.
Just saying. At least the medium ones, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's Winsanity. And then at the end, you've got to put 5 of them in order yourself. You get to choose. And then they'll tell you if you got them right. And they'll only tell you how many you got right. And you got to get them in the right order. And if you do, you win like $10,000. So, it's pretty cool. But the one I love best is the one that's on after that. And by that point, it's like 12:30 at night. And I'm just like, I'm tired, so I record them.
Yeah.
But it's called Divided.
Mm-hmm.
Divided is a game show everyone should watch. Our friend that we mentioned earlier, CJ DeAngelis, he hosts a lot of trivia games. Mm-hmm. He actually used to do his own trivia that we've actually advertised on our show. And he'd create his own games. And so I was watching this, and I'm like, I wrote him, and I'm like, you need to watch the TV show Divided. I'm like, it's like, for anyone who knows Rick and Morty, the TV show Rick and Morty, there's an episode where they go get a cleanse on an alien planet, and it detoxifies them. Well, it takes out the bad parts of them, and it becomes the toxic Rick and Morty. I'm like, it's as if toxic CJ created a trivia show.
It's a very accurate description.
Because this is a very mean trivia show.
Mm-hmm.
And not like the old ones, like... Weakest Link, where the host was mean.
Right.
The host isn't mean.
No, the host is nice.
The style of game is mean.
Hmm.
So it starts with four people, and they ask you a question, and you all have to argue and decide in a very short amount of time which answer is correct. You all have to agree unanimously, lock in that letter of A, B, or C, and then you have to push the middle button to say that you all agree. Boom.
Yeah. And when the question is asked, you start out with a certain amount of money, like $5,000, mm-hmm. and as the seconds go by, the money value starts to drop. And so the faster you come to a consensus, the more money you'll get.
If you're correct.
If you're correct.
If you're not correct, it drops whatever you banked down by half.
Yeah. So if you don't have anything yet, if you get your first one wrong, then you have nothing. But yeah, anything you build up, if you get a question wrong, it cuts it in half.
So if that isn't mean enough and that everyone has to come to the same conclusion and the same answer and all agreed before they can lock it in, not mean enough. There's also these things called takeovers. There's two takeovers buttons to where if you think that you're taking too long to answer and you think you have the right answer, you can just bypass all the other three people and hit the takeover button, and whatever you have down as your answer, it forces all of them to have that same answer. So if you're right and you get the money, great. But if not, it looks bad on you,
mm-hmm.
which comes around later.
Yes.
Because there's another aspect to the game. After so many questions have been asked, they then have to vote who gets to stay and who gets to leave, because one person out of the four is eliminated. And so only three of them have to agree, and if three of them agree, then that person goes.
But they do their initial vote and they explain why they voted the way they did, and that time for them to vote doesn't count against them for anything. And then if three of them all agree that this one person should leave, then that person leaves and they continue on with the game. But if there is not a consensus among three of them, if there's a split, then they get 10 seconds to decide. If after 10 seconds they haven't decided, their money starts to drop again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's even more incentive to say, no, this person needs to go. You need to agree with me that this person needs to go.
Which is terribly mean, because it brings people's inner personalities out,
mm-hmm.
and mean or whatever.
And that's not even the meanest part
yet. So the meanest part is, at the end of the game, if you banked enough money, if you banked any money at all, they then split the total up into three unequal parts of 60%, 30%, and 10% of the value. So if you have $10,000, that $6,000 will go to one person, $3,000 will go to another, and $1,000 will go to a third person. The thing is you all have to agree who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, of course, locks in with A being the highest number, B being middle, and C being the lowest. So everyone immediately locks in with A. I think I should get it. So then they all have to go, well, I'll take B if you take C, because so-and-so should get A. And they start arguing. And as they're doing this, their money continually drops
mm-hmm.
as the clock winds down, so does the money. So they can't just sit there and contemplate and argue forever. They have to come to a consensus or the money goes away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
so mean, and
yes.
I love it.
Yeah, and the host is actually very nice. He's very affable. He's you know, he asks them, oh, well, you know, you buzzed in real quick with that answer, you know, or, you know, you were really forceful with this. What made you think you were so sure? Or, you know, you changed your mind. You went with the rest of the group. Why, what convinced you that you were wrong? And then usually it's like, well, I didn't think I was wrong, but we were running out of time.
Yeah. And then the last one that we've been just getting into, because they got rid of baggage and they replaced it.
It's so sad.
So they replaced baggage with idiot test.
Yes. So, I mean, if you've ever been online, you've seen these tests on Facebook or whatever. So it'll give you like a picture and it'll ask you a question about it. And it's a trick question that you have to figure out. And so this is, again, it's teams of two that go head to head against each other. And some of these people, you know, and I won't say they're idiots. Because they're on stage under bright lights in front of cameras and audiences, and they're under a lot of pressure. So, you know. But, you know, sometimes the host will go over and say, well, why did you choose that? I don't know. I was running out of time.
Sometimes it works.
Sometimes. And a lot of times, more than I would guess, that works for them. They just touch something in it, and it happens to be the right answer. But that one's really fun, and you can play it on their website. If you go to Game Show Network's website, you can play the game.
Yeah, there's not much to say about this one because we can't. It's hard to describe.
It's a visual.
It's a picture game, and basically, it'll ask you like, you know, which one of these people does this, and it's very misleading.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so if you go with your gut reaction, it's usually wrong. You have to slow down and think about it.
Yeah.
But what I also like is they show Family Feud.
Well, before we do, it's kind of like those ones where it's like, oh, Timmy's mother had three daughters named, you know, Myrtle, Martha, and Maggie. What was the son's name? And they're like, well, you didn't list the son's. Well, it's
Timmy.
Timmy.
You said Timmy's mom. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like that.
Yeah. So they show old episodes of Family Feud, well, newer old episodes hosted by Steve Harvey, and then immediately follow up with a new game called America Says. And this game is hosted by, what's his name?
I don't know. I just know him from Pitch Perfect as the other half of Elizabeth Banks.
I'll get it. But it's basically the same game.
Yeah.
So they asked America, John Michael Higgins.
Okay.
That's his name. We asked America, you know, like one of them the other day was, I always kiss my wife on the blank. Now, thankfully, they give you the first letter of all these answers. And so the first letter was L, and so the answer was lips. And, we were watching one, it was, what is the, what do you do in Vegas? And so there was S for shows and
slots
and free drinks.
Yeah.
So it was FD. But my thing is that it's followed. It follows Family Feud. How is it not the same game?
Right. What was really funny is when you get the person who says strippers, and it's no, and then the next person is like strippers, no. And then the person comes back to the same person who said the first time, and she's still blank, and she's like, strippers. They're like, it wasn't right three times. What makes you think it's going to be right again?
Yeah, because just like Family Feud, it goes down the line. So the first person gets to guess until they get it wrong, and then it goes to the next person. And if they don't get any, it goes to the next person, and the next down the line.
And it's down to a minute.
Yeah.
I think it's a little more streamlined than Family Feud.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's basically the same game.
Because you don't have Steve Harvey hamming it up as much.
That's true.
Although I love Steve Harvey as the host of the Family Feud. He may be my favorite host because I know you've had like John Hurley, you've had Louis Anderson. I think Steve Harvey's my favorite because he doesn't take anything from any of them.
Oh, yeah.
When they give stupid answers, he rolls his eyes. Dear Lord, help me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he calls them out.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was really funny. There was an episode on the other day and one of the families was that it was a pastor and his family, and the question was, what fruit or vegetable would you use in both the kitchen and the bedroom? Which you would think would be an uncomfortable question for a pastor. And the pastor kept answering, and Steve Harvey kept saying, what kind of things are you teaching? It was really funny. Yeah, it was so. He's a pretty good host. You know what? He messed up once at Miss America. And he owned it.
Not only did he own it, he capitalized on it.
He really did. And you know what? He's a fun guy.
He is.
He's a
fun guy. Yeah. So that is Game Show Network.
Yes.
That is the Game Show Network in a nutshell, and that's what we're doing with our little bit of free time.
Yes.
And by little bit, I mean like watch TV while we eat dinner before we go to sleep.
And watch as we fall asleep.
Yes. All right. You are listening to We're a Little Behind. We will be right back.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
This is Diane Hawks at the Address Realty and KCNR. I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how I could be of assistance to some of the car fire victims. So, I would like to donate 25% of my commissions to four families who have lost their homes in this horrific fire and wish to relocate in Shasta County. Even if you haven't yet received your settlement, you could call me now to reserve your commissions. Call Diane at 530-227-6401.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are rounding out the home stretch of this episode.
Yeah.
So we talked about quite a bit.
Yeah.
That's what you call, just for people who are not in the show business know, that's what you call vamping.
That's right.
That is what you call stretching for time. If this was TV, I'd be doing that thing where you put your fingertips together and you pull them apart. And you put your fingertips together and you pull them apart because you're like, stretch.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, we'd like to point out the fact that, you know, a big shout out to the firefighters and first responders and everything here in the North State. Again, for anyone who's listening to this, maybe way down the line, this may be old news, but right now, the car fire is now, last I checked, it's 96% contained.
Oh, are we? No, we're getting close.
96% contained, last I checked. And, you know, they've just done a fantastic job. This is over a month now that this fire has been burning, and it's really kind of scary. There's a lot of stuff. California is one giant fireball.
It really is, especially the northern half right now.
Yeah. I mean, you have the Herz fire,
mm-hmm.
which is only, last I checked, I think it was, 25%, 26%? Yeah, so it's coming around. So we're just getting... It's at
31.
31. And we're just getting close to the car fire and being done, and now we've got Herz fire.
Yeah, so car is at 96%.
Yeah.
So it's, but the fact, it's still burning. And that's just in, it's been over a month.
Yeah, you think it would have ran out of things to burn up, mm-hmm. but, you know.
But, yeah, and, you know, it's really surreal. Out on the freeway, you just see these big trucks that almost look like they should be at hayrides at fairs because they're big, huge pickup trucks. And on the back, they're not enclosed. It's just like poles on the sides of the truck and then a canopy over the top. And there's all these firefighters sitting there on the bench, hanging on, going up and down the freeway, as they're being taken to the fire, after being on rest or being taken back to the, I believe they're still at the fairgrounds, which is their base camp. To get some sleep after their shift, and it's really surreal to see them driving up and down the freeway like that.
It doesn't look like they're like seatbelted in or strapped
in. No, they're just sitting there.
Yeah, and the thing is I'll get a ticket for not having my seatbelt on. I'm not saying they should. I'm just saying like, you know, you get a ticket for not having a seatbelt on because for safety reasons, you think they would provide these poor firefighters with some sort of safety is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's the point I'm getting to.
Right.
Like there's safety, there's seatbelt laws for a reason. And so, yeah, just kind of interesting. But, you know, all those guys, heroes, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's, I mean, and even not just them, there's everyone in the North State who's, you know, donated time, money, you know, and then the effort to help the firefighters who are helping others. It's nice to see. So from everyone here at, you know, our show, which is, well, the two of us, thank you everyone for everything that you've done.
It's really heartwarming to see how the community came together to overcome this and how many signs are all over town thanking the firefighters and, you know, firefighters, police, utility workers. I mean, PG&E and REU are on top of it, making sure that people's electricity stays on or gets turned back on. And, I mean, there's just signs everywhere.
And then there's disaster response places to help you get your life back in order for people who are victims of the fire. Mm-hmm. You've been a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With your job.
Mm-hmm. For the last couple of weeks, we've been at the old Kmart building, which Kmart's not there anymore, but we've kind of taken over a corner of their building to make sure that people get the assistance that they need.
Yeah, it's like everyone from DMV if you lost your ID.
Vital statistics, if you lost your birth certificate or your marriage certificate and any of that happened in California, they can help you get replacements.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, you know, tragedies like this bring out the best in people.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, hopefully we're rounding out the end of this.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully. We need rain.
We do. Desperately.
Like, just some rain and some cooler weather and let's hope Halloween's a much better time.
Yeah. Yeah.
let's just get to the end of October and hope for the best. But next week, you know, we're getting kind of busy, and normally when we're busy, we do reruns, but not next week.
We could do a rerun next week, but
we're not
going to.
We're going to do a rerun topic.
Yes.
Yes.
So coming up in September is the 20th anniversary of the U.S. release of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
The book,
yes. So the Philosopher's Stone, which is the original UK version, came out in 97, but the US was released in 98. So this is the 20th anniversary, and so to celebrate that, Cinemark is showing all the movies in the theater again.
All 8 Harry Potters and the Fantastic Beasts.
Yes, and so they're having a festival, so you can get your festival pass, which lets you into all the movies. The only problem
is, you can see it in XD.
And yes. The only problem is that the movies are in such a weird order that you have to watch them out of order. So you can't just watch one.
There is no way to watch it in order.
None, not at all. You can't watch, okay, one and then two and the three. No. I think we get to watch one first, right?
Right.
And then immediately followed
by
Fantastic Beasts.
I mean, ideally you'd want to see Beasts first.
Right, because it technically is a prequel.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we watch one and then.
So it's, and quickly, it's. Friday night, it'll be Harry Potter 1 and Beast. On Saturday, it will be Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, so 7.1 and 7.2. Then on Sunday, it's going to be Harry Potter 2, 3, and 4. And then on Monday, it's going to be Harry Potter 5. And then on Tuesday in the afternoon, it's Harry Potter 6.
Which we can't watch because we have to be at work.
Yeah. Jobs.
But, yeah, so you have to watch in a weird order. But it's going to be fun. So special guest Lauren DeAngelis and I we'll come in and talk about watching them all again.
Like you did before.
That's right.
All right. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. Good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR in Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.